Thanks, everybody, for joining us again today on Bridging the Gap. My name is Corey Graham, Communications Director for Powell County Fiscal Court. And as we have been trying to bring to you shortly after every Powell County Fiscal Court meeting, today Judge Anderson is going to guide us through the meeting that took place last Tuesday and give us some insight into what kind of information was discussed and how it was handled, what sort of conclusions were drawn. Just as a public service for those, as we know, who have busy schedules and aren't able to make it out to the meetings. And Judge, I know that there was something unique about this meeting that's special to a lot of people in our community, a couple of things. You kind of led the meeting off with those. Can you share with us what we really started with at the meeting?
Yeah, we started the meeting with a moment of silence. Unfortunately, we lost a part-time employee in Pete Barnes. He had helped county out the last several years in both mowing and snow removal, and unfortunately had passed. So we wanted to remember him and his family in our prayers as they go through the next few weeks or whatever the time frame there. And also yesterday so happened to be 10th anniversary of Randy Lacy's death. So naturally earlier in the day they'd had a little event there at the courthouse to honor his memory, and so we had a moment of silence for those two gentlemen, as well as, I guess, kind of on that point, later in the meeting, we'd had a request that we try to get a road named in memory of Mr. Lacy as well. And so we passed a resolution to start that process as well. So hopefully that'll be something in the future that'll be a permanent monument to his memory.
Well, and certainly no one would say that there was anybody more deserving. That's the Lacys have given generations of themselves and their families to law enforcement in this community, and of course Big Randy gave the ultimate sacrifice for that. So it's wonderful to see that kind of sacrifice and dedication to community memorialized here. Now, moving on to the other important business of the meeting, we did actually have some public comment at this meeting, and that's not always the case. Can you tell us a little bit about the gentleman who did address the court?
Yeah, we had one gentleman come and evidently had purchased some property on Hardy's Creek, and kind of in line with some of the things we're trying to do, it looks like that he sees the value in probably using the adventure tourism angle to do something with his property. So he's looking at the potential of having some ATV or vehicle access to his property and have some managed rides. He talked like maybe one in July and then one on up in the fall and see what that evolves into. And he pretty much come before the court just wanting to let them know what his he was proposing doing and make sure that he knew what he had to do to be in compliance with anything in relation to permits or taxes or anything that he'd be subjected to through the county. So we cleared that up and garnered that information from him.
Well, and of course, anybody bringing any kind of events like that into Powell County, that's fantastic, and it's going to make a wonderful difference in the community down the road, or at least we hope so. We hope it grows and thrives. And I know also, and we've talked about this a couple of times, and I guess everybody knows it's not insurance isn't a constant topic at the fiscal court meetings, but where the last few meetings it's been coming up on the new fiscal year, it's been pretty relevant. But we did finally get a final decision and some closure on the insurance issue for the upcoming year.
Yeah, we did. And like I said, every year this is a process that we go through. And last few years we've elected to, one of the things we've kind of prided ourselves on, even things, and insurance would be one of them, but this professional service that don't necessarily have to be bid out or whatever. We have went through that process, posted it, allowed anybody that wish to quote the ability to do so. And we had two people, and we actually had a insurance workshop here where the two people that had some interest or expressed interest came, and one of them being our local agent, Elkins Insurance, and I think she has been servicing that insurance company has been servicing, I think, 10 years, I think she stated last night, which definitely exceeds the time I was here. But also we had Keiko, and at the time he came to the workshop too, but pretty much said, he told us about himself, what he thought the benefits of Keiko was, but that he wasn't going to quote because he knew that naturally the local agent being a lower price, that he wasn't even going to give us a quote this year. So that left us with Josie quoting, and we picked which plans would we thought best serve our employees. And so we've got that in place, and we're adding a couple new items that I think it'll be beneficial to our employees. So was a little increase, not near as significant as we thought. I think we come up with about a 12%, which is pretty significant, but in looking at what some counties are experiencing, you know, 20-30% increases. So
So we've definitely come out better than we expected then. Well, Judge, moving on to new business, or well, it's old business, but a continuation of old business. The Sheriff's Office approached the fiscal court to talk about some grant funding for some equipment that they're in need of. And I know this has been kind of a complicated process. Can you kind of give some insight into what's transpired, how we got where we are, and where we're moving, how we're moving forward?
I can, and kind of like you said, it's almost like Groundhog Day here again. You know, we're kind of back for, I think this is probably the third month kind of on the same topic. And I guess the one concerning thing that I had was basically what we had tried to do there a couple months ago, we could have potentially had that equipment. But I guess to kind of clear it up, basically last month when we had the most information shared on this regard, but through Homeland Security, there is some law enforcement protection program grants available. And I think, as we stated last time, these allow for the purchase of several things, and such as body armor, service weapons, tasers, that kind of thing. And they're kind of prioritized, you know, like I said, we stated last month, with the vest and things being the first ones they fund if funding is limited. So had a member of the Sheriff's Department come last night and present those, and had a conversation the day before to try to make sure we knew what they was doing. Of course, it was kind of ironic because I specifically asked last month if we were going to see these, because I knew this process that the court had to be the physical agent, and we was told that no by the sheriff at that time. So kind of proved what we knew, but that's the way it is. Naturally, we want to see our officers get any of this equipment they need to.
Well, and to interject, that's pretty standard procedure, isn't it, that the fiscal court would be the fiscal agent regardless of the department? I know when we've gone through grant processes in 911 and other agencies, the fiscal court is typically the fiscal agent of it.
On a good many grants, it does require a fiscal agent, and like I said, that typically is the head of government for that department, you know. And the same thing, if the cities go through it, at that point the mayors would be administrator signature required on these type grants. So you're exactly right. But basically, one of the things, I guess, that had led to the discussion last month, we, being the fiscal court, had heard that there was a need for new vest, in that our officers either had old, in some cases maybe not have any, or had a vest that, like I said, had outlived their useful life. So in seeing that opportunity and knowing I've been aware of this grant, we had actually already passed this grant in order to try to make sure that we could get those individuals the protective equipment they needed. When it came up last month, the sheriff stated that he kind of sarcastically stated that while he appreciated the effort, he wasn't going to do it with us because he was going to apply for it on their own. So, and that he was going to apply for more, which at what point we said, you know, if our numbers were off on what, we'd be willing to alter that and increase the numbers. Of course, naturally, one of the things we want to look at, if you read the grants, is to make sure we're trying to do it according to their guidelines and what they will fund, and try to make a good grant application. So this, I'm tickled that at least there is movement toward getting those officers these vests. And so this month they did come back. They had upped the number to 15, and that's basically 7 full-time and 8 part-time people they're going to try to get these vests for. And feel pretty confident that, you know, with it being vests, that that'll probably be something that hopefully will be funded. So naturally, I had read and was familiar with the grant process, so I did have a few questions, not so much on this one as the next one we'll talk about. But they'd also come back with the same grant program, trying to get service weapons for their officers. And that one I had a little bit more concern after I reviewed, because like I said, if you're going to apply for a grant and hope to obtain it, naturally you pretty much need to submit the things that it requires or request. And I seen a lot of inconsistencies, and so I thought part of my job was in order to try to make sure and ensure that they have a opportunity to be awarded this grant, that, you know, the things that I saw as insufficient should be addressed prior to sending it in order to make sure that application has the best possible chance of being funded. So we had quite a bit of discussion, more so on this one than the one before. And that really, you know, there were several things. It specifically, you know, there's a question of will they fund weapons for certified, uncertified, which, you know, will the uncertified be eligible? So that was one question I had. You know, also it specifically states on here that if you're going to receive these, you have to list the weapons that are being replaced along with the serial number and the date that that weapon went into service. When you review this application, there's only 8 guns listed, one of them been a spare, only with serial numbers, no date as requested. So, you know, these are things I wanted them to try to correct. Also had some questions about it. Specifically states that in order to have these replaced, you have to have an armorer's statement as to the wear condition of the weapons that need to be replaced, and it has to be attached to it. Well, there's not one of those present in this application they presented, and so in the way that I read it, that probably subjects this grant to just been thrown out, which is unfortunate.
So what you're saying is that you certainly didn't take any issue with this department getting the new weapons and new equipment. You were certainly for, you know, a better equipment for the department. Just concerned that if the grant proceeded forward the way it was currently written, the whole grant would end up rejected due to that, and then we would just be back to square one.
I sincerely feel like this is in jeopardy of being funded because of the insufficient things in the day, you know, in the grant that was requested. So, and another concern is you take potentially what I perceive to be a grant that will most likely be rejected, has kind of held up going ahead and getting the vest too, because I, you know, if they were going to be submitted separately, it looks like we could have went ahead and got the vest and had our officers in vest a couple months ago and subsequently done this one. But like I said, I think, and then there again, you start to question, well, why my interest in that beyond getting the officers the things they need in doing this? Like I said, we're the lead agency. It's my signature. I go down as administrator. I'm supposed to be verifying that if you read this fully, that the things in here are accurate. So, you know, in doing my homework and looking at what I see as being inaccurate or whatever, as well as at the end of the day, most of these grants that I've worked with in the past, they will come back and audit that, you know, if these weapons were received, who are they distributed to, there's a record of who has them and that kind of thing. So I'm very, you know, at the point that I had to put my name to it, I want to make sure that's managed correctly. And on both of these grants, that was a topic of concern. Is there's also beyond that, there's a project manager who is the person is tasked with, you know, keeping track of the serial numbers, distributing them, making sure that when they come to an audit, they can provide documentation as well as go to that officer, say, look, they've got this weapon. So I had a little bit of issue with who was listed there. And it was my understanding prior to these being brought to me that there would be another officer that would be in charge who I had a level of confidence would be good at that. And so
it's more, it essentially comes down to a clerical and a bookkeeping type of issue that should be easy to resolve.
You would hope. And that was, you know, my problem. Like I said, if I have to put my name, and regardless of my thought, like I said, the vote of the court to pass this resolution, my name goes on it so long as the majority votes, whether I completely agree with everything that's placed on there.
Well, Judge, unfortunately, we're running a little bit low on time today, but we will come back tomorrow and pick up the last important details of the grant issue and move on to the rest of the meeting, if that's all right with you. And we'll, if everybody out there can just tune back in tomorrow at the same time, we'll keep you up to date, and we'll finish this up.